Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 8 of the Good People, Bad Intentions podcast. And today I am joined with none other than Josiah Lake. He is a MMA fighter who's now taken more of a focus on boxing and looks to compete in this year, the 2022. He has a background in Taekwondo as well as karate. And I'm really looking forward to having a chat with him because we've had a few people now, including myself, who've had karate backgrounds. And I'm always interested to see the transition from karate to boxing because it's something that I had made. And yeah, I look forward to talking to him. And he will be coming up right now.
If I turn it sideways.
There, that's perfect. There we go. Now I can see you.
Technical difficulty, but we gotta go.
I like your backdrop. You got a, is that a, some type of pet you have in that?
It's a rare leopard gecko. My name's Medusa.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Are they easy pet to have or high maintenance? Or?
I mean, it depends who you ask. I feed her this stuff here, like mealworms and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And that stuff. So you just take it, you dangle it. She snatches it out your hand, so it's pretty cool.
And the best auto insurance too, right?
Yeah, sir.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on here.
Anytime, man.
Obviously, we know each other from Tribal, and but I'm really interested to talk a little bit about kind of your history as far as how you got into mixed martial arts as well as competing in boxing. So from what I gathered, did you start as in karate?
Technically, I started in Taekwondo, actually.
Taekwondo.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about how old you were and that kind of thing, how it went?
So I was 9 years old, and I was going on a split custody visits with my pop in the city before I moved up here. Mm-hmm. And I actually got jumped when I was playing some ball hockey.
Wow.
Yeah, and when I went back home to see my mom, she's like, what the hell happened? I told her what happened. She said, we're going to put you in some type of martial arts, so I'll learn some self-defense. So one of her old friends named Sherry, she ran Victory Taekwondo down in Kentville. So I joined that up for like a year and a half. I did a couple tournaments. I got a silver medal and a bronze medal. And from there, I don't know if you know the name Brian Gibson.
I don't.
He was a gold medalist in the Olympics, like years back. Yeah, and he had a little underground, like old school gym down in a big basement down in Kentville. So I joined there for a year and a half, and I guess that's where it kind of started. Yeah.
And what did he get the gold medal in? Was it?
It was just a tournament, like just a tournament.
Okay.
Yeah, for Taekwondo.
Awesome.
We were doing katas and board breakings and, you know, stuff like that.
Was it the Olympic style WTF? That the tournaments were?
Yes, sir.
Because they have like I don't know at what point it started, but those sensors on the pads. Have you done any of the tournaments with that?
It was before that, actually.
Before that.
It was with one of those clickers, you know, you'd have refs there, something like boxing.
And so what changed from Taekwondo? How did you get your opportunity to expand into other martial arts?
Well, I mean, you know, as I was doing Taekwondo, I was meeting a lot of people involved within the sport and martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of realized it's more of a sport. You know what I mean? It's not the grittiness and, you know, stuff you get from boxing. So one of my friends, Jeff Cano, he's actually from Colombia. He used to box out there, and he moved down here with his sister. And me and him joined Brian's gym together. And, you know, I just fell in love with it. You know, walking there, you got the lockers busted up, you know, ceilings looking kind of musty. You know, it was something like a Rocky Balboa movie, but there's something about it that just hooked me. And I've been addicted ever since.
That's awesome. So you've competed in MMA, and have you competed in kickboxing as well?
Yep, I've competed in kickboxing and boxing. Because I actually left Brian's gym. He closed down. His wife passed away.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. But he wants to take some time from that, you know, just to do some healing. So went over to an MMA club under Andrew Dykens. He actually was one of Jim's students back
okay.
in the day. And he started his own club called Shokan Defense. And that's when I really started my karate journey and my mixed martial arts journey, was when I joined that gym. And I started there. I was there for about 6.5 years. And I trained everything I really could. The John Manuel came down. He was doing submission wrestling, Brazilian mm-hmm. jiu-jitsu. I did some Chinese boxing, some Wei Jiru karate, some Lu Kuan taekwondo. So that's not the sport. It's the actual martial art from Korea. Mm-hmm. I was training under Jordan Greenman from there. But, yeah, quite a bit.
and the whole time, were you following like mixed martial arts and the UFC? Were you following the fighters that had like the taekwondo and the karate background? Like
Stephen Thompson, he was one of my big favorites.
Yeah. Wonder boy.
Yes, sir.
And Anderson Silva, there was talk that he wanted to compete in Rio for Brazil. That didn't happen, but he's got a taekwondo background.
Mm-hmm. He's a pretty amazing fighter, Anderson Silva was.
Yeah. You know,
he paved the way for a lot of guys coming up. That's for sure.
For sure. I really enjoy him. I wasn't a huge fan of the Diaz fight, but I'm really happy that he's now got a new life in boxing. And he was able to beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., who has fought some really big names. Some people say he's not like the best boxer around, but
there's always going to be people saying stuff like that.
Yeah,
it kind of comes with the territory.
And obviously, like nowadays, it's been kind of a challenge. Like everything's been kind of closing up and stuff. Was there some contest that you were looking forward to that maybe COVID kind of pulled the plug on?
Well, when I joined Tribal back in it was back in August, actually. Mm-hmm. I moved up here from the Valley for it. Jim just said he wanted me to train for a couple months at that gym so I can learn how they teach their fighters and stuff like that. And by the time he wanted me to go on about, I didn't have my medical done because it was towards the end of the year.
Yep.
So I got my medical done a couple days ago, actually. I'm going to go down to the club and give it to her. And then, guns ablaze. And I'm looking forward to this year, that's for sure.
Are you looking like any particular? Is it going to be a boxing bout that you're looking for? Or are you looking cool? And what has it been like kind of focusing like just on boxing, whereas you had like, done martial arts with kicks and that stuff, like just your hands? Have you been enjoying it, or is it you miss kicking?
Big time, I'm always going to miss kicking and, the whole mixed martial arts aspects. Mm-hmm. But, there's something different about boxing. It really is. You can't sprawl to the ground or throw a kick when you're in trouble. You got to duke it out head to head. So I've always been in love with using my hands. So everybody said that's been my thing. I was good at kicks, but my hands have been my thing. So boxing's where the money's at. I think that's what I'm sticking to.
And I actually just moved down from Yarmouth in September, so like a month after. What's it been like moving back, especially during this time? You've been enjoying your time, and are you living in Dartmouth?
I'm living in Dartmouth, got an apartment up here.
Awesome.
It's a little different, The valley is more quiet, less stuff going on. But I love the city, that's for sure.
Were you close to like Acadia at all?
I was about 10 minutes away from Acadia.
So what was it like growing up in like kind of like a university town?
Well, I mean, I've moved around quite a bit.
Okay.
13 times in my life. Yeah.
So where were you originally born?
Originally, I was born in BC. In Chile. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. That's a little ways from here.
That's for sure. But I don't remember much of BC because I moved away from there when I was 4.
Yeah.
So I moved from BC down to Windsor to a trailer park, actually, for a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I didn't have a lot of money growing up. So, it's whatever we could get at the time. So that's why I moved around quite a bit. I lived in a trailer park. Then I moved to Falmouth, down to Dartmouth, Kentville, PEI, New Brunswick. You know, I moved around quite a bit. So,
and when you move around that much, like, does it affect you in the long run? Like, was it hard? Like, because you make a certain group of friends and they got to move again and all that type of stuff.
I mean, it was hard with that because, like, once, you know, you find some people in school you got close with, sort of hanging out with, and then mom's like, we got to move by the end of the week. So, you know, I try to stay in touch with a lot of people, but I honestly think it's good. You know, I've learned a lot of experiences. I've got to meet a lot of new people so I can learn from them. So, you know, it taught me never to get too comfortable wherever I'm at, which is actually really good for boxing as well, because you get comfortable in the ring, you know. Get punched in the face, so
yeah,
you know, kind of goes hand in hand.
And what's some things that I guess you learned just focusing on boxing lately? Like, is the mental aspect, the physical aspect? Like, can you just talk a little bit about, because boxing, I mean, it's another martial art like everything else, but there tends to be a lot of people that like to talk about things that a lot of people don't usually talk about. You know, like, the fact that it's something that's a very personal thing. You're working on yourself. You're testing your limits.
Well, I mean, I found with boxing, you know, it's way bigger than just the sport itself, you know. Mm-hmm. Taught me a lot of things, actually, you know, as in, I don't know, being content as a person. You know, that's one of the biggest things that it taught me. You know, I used to grow up with depression, anxiety, a lot of stuff mm-hmm. like that. So as I got into boxing, my confidence started going up. And, you know, when I'm in the ring, there's something about it. It's the calmest I could feel. You know what I mean? When I walk around, everybody has stuff going on. But when I'm in that ring, there's nothing else to focus on. It's just that person and me. So, I mean, it taught me focus, grounding. I don't know if you're into grounding a lot.
I was talking with Kyle McNeil, the actual thing of grounding, like being barefoot on the ground.
He
talked a little bit about that. Sorry about that. Speaking about grounding, that was the universe calling. But no, can you just talk a little bit more, because he was just saying, like, him and his partner Colleen, they tend to, you know, be barefoot most of the time, and they believe that this is part of, you know, taking maybe some energy out of you, or bad energy. Or
I don't know how much you know about, like, chakras and stuff like that. I don't know if that's what you're into.
I know a little bit, but please, I'd like to know.
Well, my mom, she took a bunch of courses, but she's really into stuff like astrology, chakras, energy mm-hmm. healing, stuff like that. So, you know, I kind of grew up with it. There wasn't a, you know. So I find with grounding, once you're bare feet, you know, you go running and stuff like that, it's really empowering, you know what I mean? It's almost like a meditation in a way.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I used to run barefoot. I know, like, I felt kind of, like, I had the Vibram Five Fingers when they came out. And then I progressed to, I took them off. I started running. There was, like, a lawsuit where, I guess Vibram was making some claims about barefoot running, but their actual shoes were just, you know, still shoes. I was just going to say, so have you run barefoot before?
Oh, big time. Yeah. I still run barefoot, actually.
Because it's like not
in the winter, because, you know, I'm a kind of a baby when it comes to the cold. But when summer comes along, yeah, I run barefoot. I imagine it looks kind of crazy to people in the city. But, you know, it's just, it gives you that little extra edge when you're getting tired and stuff like that. You can really draw the energy from the ground, and it toughens you up at the end of the day. You know, a lot of people, they'll walk and they'll get a little splinter or something and they'll cry about it. But when you're running on rocks and stuff like that, you know, you get used to it.
Yeah, weirdly enough, when I was doing it, I don't think I really stepped on anything bad. I mean, you're more conscious of the ground, right? Because your bare foot's there, and you're not, you know, I was kind of like, I was running, but I was also looking at the ground.
Looking for rocks and stuff like that.
And I remember, I think it was grade 9 or 10, is the peak of that for me. And I was going to school and I was talking to my principal. I was like, yeah, can I just like walk around barefoot in the school? And they're like, that's sanitary. So what I did was I had just, you know, a pair of those moccasin slippers and I would put them on, I would walk with them in my hand, walk into school barefoot and then put them on when I was inside the school and then take them off right when I got out. And I think people thought I was a little weird, but, yeah, I had some experience with that, so I know what you're meaning. And yeah, I'm learning now about this whole concept of grounding. So maybe I was trying to ground in those younger years.
It was your inner soul trying to tell you what to do.
I'm just curious, what fight do you got on your television at the moment?
Oh, you saw that, did you?
Yeah.
It's Canelo versus Austin Trout.
He's one of my
favorite fighters, yeah.
Is Austin Trout your favorite or Canelo?
Canelo.
Mexican awesome. Man. Yeah.
He's a machine.
And I guess there's talks about him fighting Charlo as his next fight instead of going up to cruiserweight.
Because he just beat Plant, what is it, a month back or so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think from everybody that I've been listening to, they're saying that it wouldn't be smart for him to go down to 160 fight Charlo. You should make him go up because he's put on a lot of weight since, you know, he went up against Kovalev at 175. He's put on a lot of muscle.
Sure.
Some people are saying some of the, you know, the Mexican supplements maybe, but, but you know, he's very powerful. He's really talented. He's a really good ambassador.
I think he's unstoppable right now, honestly.
Yeah, it's certainly looking like that way. I would like to see him go against Better Biev, like go up and fight Better Biev because I think that'd be a very competitive fight. But
100%. But
I think, you know, he fought Mayweather, he lost, and I think ever since then he's kind of had a better understanding about maybe the business aspect and, you know, not saying that he's not taking good fights, but a lot of people, one thing they always say is that a lot of the fights he's gone against, except maybe Triple G, like it wasn't a huge, he was usually the favorite, you know? So.
Well, I mean, it's smart, you know, you gotta be smart within boxing and stuff like that. You know, you're not gonna pick an opponent that doesn't have a lot of publicity or stuff like that. So I think he's just being smart about it, getting his money right, and, you know, doing good things in the sport, that's for sure.
And there's any other boxers of the past or even the present that you're interested in or that you like their style?
I was a big fan of Floyd growing up.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's all I was watching in class, you know, on YouTube. I'd have fights playing, teachers were yelling at me for it. But, you know, there's something about the defensive style that he had that just amazed me. You know, he's fought, what was it, 26 world champions, beat them all, you know, only lost a certain amount of rounds. You know, it's pretty amazing what he's done for 21 years in the sport. But he definitely turned that monster on in Canelo when he took that loss, for sure.
You know? 100%. And, yeah, there's the one thing that I find really fascinating about Floyd, and I've been looking into it, is there was a transition, the transition from pretty boy to money.
Yes, sir.
Because people say like once Floyd became money Mayweather, he became like less of an exciting fighter in the aspect of like he wasn't finishing a whole lot of fights. Like when he was pretty boy, he was you know, he was that defensive fighter, but he also, I think he had less injuries in his hand and, you know, he was able to put people out, but the skills that he has are amazing.
Well, I was watching an interview a few months back, actually, and it didn't have nothing to do with the injuries or anything like that. It had to do with the actual money aspect because I forget who he was fighting under. It was a certain promotions, but he was only making seven figures, he said, for, you know, fighting world champions and, you know, knocking them out. So when he made that little switch from Pretty Boy to Money May, he started his own promotions up and, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, that's kind of that.
And almost like almost all the fighters now, they have their own promotion. And one fight that was really instrumental in me kind of targeting my interest into to boxing specifically was the Mayweather-McGregor fight. I was, you know, going into that fight, I didn't know a lot about Floyd. So I was like, okay, McGregor's going to win, and he didn't. And I was like, whoa, this... Yeah. I had went to this bar or whatever, and I just asked him, I said, if I, you know, eat right now and like have a beer or whatever, can I have this seat right for the fight? And they're like, yeah, sure. And the whole crowd that was at the bar at the time was all rooting for McGregor. And then towards the later rounds, when he ended up, when it ended up getting stopped, it was a huge shock because here's this smaller guy that's older, you know, and McGregor was doing all these, you know, really interesting footwork and all these different stuff. We're like, oh, you know, the whole movement culture, he's going to do something different. But then in front of my eyes, I kind of realized, well, there's a lot more depth to this sport than just, you know, fancy footwork and stuff like that. Cause I think McGregor said at the end, that Floyd had like three different game plans and made adjustments in the fight. And pretty well, I think he did throw like the first couple of rounds just to kind of get a, you know, feel out.
Throughout his career, that's what he did a lot. Those first three, four rounds, he'd collect the data and then he'd pick strategy, and that's how he'd win all the time. So,
And then I look back at like a lot of the interviews, because again, he wasn't on my radar until after that fight, but I look back at like him and De La Hoya and
trying to
think a better example too. I think De La Hoya, maybe Sugar Shane Mosley.
Yeah.
When he had those two fights, the press conferences and everything like that, and him coming into the ring with like Cinco de Mayo against Oscar De La Hoya. Like he was a really good provocateur. He understood that, you know, people like you or hate you, they're still gonna show up and watch the fight. That's something Ali used to say too.
Well, so, he liked being the bad guy. Like in that that fight that you just said, I don't know why it slipped in my mind.
Shane Mosley, or was it
De La Hoya?
De La Hoya. Yeah.
Like he came out in in a Mexican outfit.
Yes.
Just play the bad guy in the press conferences. He was, you know, saying some pretty harsh stuff just to get in that mental warfare of his head. But that's the fight that actually set him, you know, into stardom.
Of course. Was that fight. And, you know, looking at both of those fighters now, I think May did a lot better in the long run, because I don't know what your thoughts have been about Oscar De La Hoya lately, but he's had lost a lot of his fighters on Golden Boy, and then there's, you know, he's got this new girlfriend, lover, hater that, you know, everybody's talking about, but he seems like he's happy in the same right. So I don't know, like I don't know if people are just jealous that he's finally happy with his life or what. Dana White doesn't like him.
Oh no, that's for sure. That's for sure. I mean, he's not a fan of a lot of boxers, honestly, but I guess that kind of comes with the little rivalry that goes on between MMA and boxing, you know, especially with Jake Paul. You know, I think Jake Paul got under his skin quite a bit when it comes to boxing and MMA.
Yeah, they issued a challenge about the steroids versus cocaine testing.
You see Dana White's head getting super red in that vein pop, you know, good business there. But, you know, I'm honestly, you know, I enjoy watching Jake Paul's career. You know, he's actually bringing a lot of light to the sport. And, you know, the sport's full of trash talkers. You know, everybody likes to hate on him, but I kind of enjoy watching it, you know.
What was it like for you when he beat Tyron Woodley the second time?
That was it wasn't a shocker to me, but the way it happened, it was a shock. You know, that overhand right, you know, put Woodley out completely cold. I didn't expect it to happen like that, that's for sure. A lot of people are saying it's rigged. You know, he was taking his hand and bending it in right before the knockout punch, but I don't know. I think I think it was just a knockout, honestly.
Yeah, it looked like he just set it up perfectly, and, you know, maybe – I don't know if that didn't happen. I think it would have been a snooze fest of a fight, but I'm glad it did.
That's for sure. I was falling asleep through the third and fourth round, but same thing as the last one.
So in your future, so you're going to be competing hopefully soon in a boxing bout, because it's weird, like, sure, everything's closed down in Canada, nationals and the Brampton Cup and everything has been moved. Yeah. But do you also see yourself competing in mixed martial arts again?
I think the road I'm taking right now is strictly boxing, especially where I'm at Tribal. You know, yep, it looks like that's a home there. And when I was training down at Shokan, you know, I really thought I knew what boxing was. Mm-hmm. And when I went down and I met Bridget, and she took me under her wing, and, you know, explained a lot of the things. She breaks it down on a whole new level that I never knew. So, you know, I'm really, really addicted to that right now. I'm really trying to, you know, work to the best I can so I can showcase my skills in the bouts coming up. But
yeah, she, I was watching her yesterday. She was with Justin, not Justin, what's his
name? Not Blades.
No, the other Justin.
Yeah,
Kaur. And they were both doing 50 burpees. And I had already done it and died, but I was like watching them, and she was like not showing anything. Like, it was crazy. She just she's pushing through it. Like, yeah, she just never showed anything. And I was like, wow, like, if I could tap into that a little bit and become a little bit like her in that way, then I'm going to be unstoppable. And
the focus that she has, man, she can just turn it off. Vision. Yeah.
And, without speaking too much on that, I think she had to go through a lot growing up. And, you know, as you said, you've had to go through stuff, and I've gone through some stuff. And I think that stuff really makes you stronger as a fighter. It allows you to take some pain, which is part of the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, you know, when I was growing up through it and I was pounding in bags and stuff like that, people used to look at me a little bit like a hothead, you know, because, like, I'd get in a fight with my mom, or like we didn't have rent or some stuff like that, you know, bills. And I'd just go down to the gym, and it really was my safe place. You know, I'd pound out like 20, 25 rounds on a bag back in the day, just nonstop. You know, sometimes I'd go bare knuckle. It was a little crazy, but, you know, it's really my safe place, I think, mixed martial arts, because, you know, when you're going through stuff outside, when you go into that gym, that's it. You know what I mean? It's only the gym. That's what you have to focus on, is bringing yourself to a higher state of life and making yourself better. So, you know, it saved me. It really did.
Luckily, like, a lot of my problems kind of were more manageable when I started boxing, but one of my outlets growing up was, I was a drummer, like learning how to drum. So I was, you know, listening to all this metal stuff. I would use that as getting my frustration out, because I feel like hitting the bag and hitting the drum set solid, you know, a good couple of times. It's kind of similar, you know, some type of motion to, I don't know if I could get all my energy out with a guitar or, you know, a bass. It'd be kind of.
Do you play guitar at all?
I have an acoustic guitar, and I know like a couple like cymbal songs. My mother's boyfriend, and then it was her husband, growing up, he was a musician. So he played guitar, and like when I was like seven, he showed me a few things on the guitar, and then I just kind of played with it ever since. But it's not something I formally, pardon?
That's good for the girls, man.
Yeah. Unfortunately, my campfire/university dorm room, I don't think I see myself in those situations anymore, but I remember in university, like, anybody that had a guitar, they would have a bunch of girls coming around. I'm like, can you play that song? Like, yeah, so, oh my gosh, you know, the G chord. That's awesome.
Yeah, I got a guitar right there. You know, I serenaded a couple women once.
If you're listening and you want some, what's your go-to songs to play?
You know the kid Leroy?
Yeah.
I like to play a lot of his songs. You know, oh. I like his and his voice, and you know,
yeah,
I kind of got that little grottiness in mind as well. So,
on a kind of unrelated note, kind of related, have you ever listened to any of Charlie Puth's TikTok videos like lately?
No, I haven't, brother. I haven't.
He does a weird thing now where he shares his whole creative process, and he makes like a TikTok, like, if this, I wonder if the song, if it had a kick, like, and then he just like loops everything and makes a song in like the 10-15 second span of the TikTok.
Yeah,
so it's pretty talented. If you're into music, I mean, music's, I think, never going anywhere. It's a really good skill.
Oh, no, that's for sure. Yeah, that's something that's going to be around for eternity, I think.
And for me, like, I find with drumming, it kind of helped me develop a good rhythm with boxing. Not saying like I'm the best drummer ever. I kind of suck, honestly. But, wow. You know, when Justin Bieber did better drumming than me on his YouTube back in the day. So, you know.
But
it's actually like really good for rhythm.
Oh, sure.
Which apparently that's my strength. That's what Bridges said. I get rhythm. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think I got everything else, but I got rhythm.
You beatbox?
No. That's a funny thing. My drum teacher at the time, Sandy Ackles, he's now in Amherst right now. Really cool guy. I went to him for like five years. And he had this interesting idea. If you're a drummer, really you should be able to beatbox. And the realization is that a lot of boxers, like, or not boxers, a lot of drummers like me, I was able to like air drum and do a bunch of like just hitting pens on a table and all this stuff. Like, you have to invent ways for you to practice drumming when you're not in front of a drum kit. So he thought, like, beatboxing, if you can beatbox something, you certainly can play it. So it was a really, he thinks beatboxing is one of the most important things to try to be able to do as a drummer. So
yeah, I used to beatbox a little bit back on my Xbox 360.
Oh, like when you're in the Black Call of Duty Ops lobby?
Yes, sir. Playing Black Ops 2.
Did you get any friend requests after your beatboxes? Oh, sure. Oh yeah. Sure. On the Microsoft headset?
Yeah, I had the little one like that. So, I remember that's getting awesome. It for Christmas. So I was asking for it for like 3 or 4 years, and I finally had it. And there I was, you know, this is beauty. I was staying up to 2 or 3 o'clock every night, just, you know, gaming. And sometimes I'd go to school in the morning, sleep in. But
yeah.
I still do it. That's for sure.
I used to play on Xbox 360. I used to play the Left 4 Dead game. Online, yeah, it was really fun. And then I realized that I had some problems because it's like 3 or 4 in the morning. It was the summer, so I was able to get away with it. But like 3 or 4 in the morning, I was playing. My mom was like, "What were you doing last night downstairs? Like, you don't want to know." zombies were killed in the process.
What was your favorite character?
The old man. From the first one, I forget his name.
Was it Roach?
I can definitely get the cast right now.
I always liked Coach from the second one.
Coach from the second one. The survivors. What's their name? Bill. I like Bill.
Yeah, Bill.
Bill, the old man with the, I think he's a vet. Yeah, he's from the first battalion special forces group. So I just liked him because, you know, I like a little bit of character, you know, and something about an old man that's fighting off zombies. Like, you just wouldn't expect it. You think he'd be like the first one to go.
Yeah. But, could you relate to that at all?
I don't know if I can relate, but, later on, and I talked about this a while ago, I had a Twitch account and I was doing like video game live streams, and I got really into the Grand Theft Auto 5 role play, like the, it's kind of like No Pixel, but it was, it's called the 5M. And what you do is you can play the game like a multiplayer game, but then you actually have to act like you're a real person. So I'll be like, hey, how's it going? It's Bruce. Nice to meet you. Yeah, how's it going, guys? So there was a guy that I used to wait on, and his name was Bruce. And unfortunately, he has passed on. But he was a character. And so I was really able to do an, really good at doing impressions about him, because every time he come into the restaurant, he'd really brighten up everybody's day. And he had this kind of Boston accent, but even though he's from one of the, I think the Baltic Islands is where he's from. Some island that's close to Australia. And yeah, he would just do these impressions all the time. So I don't know, old guys, they just got a little more character.
Yeah, well, they got all that experience under their belt, right?
100%. And I guess the ticket to life is to be a young guy that's got old guy knowledge, you know, be wise.
That's one way to put it, brother.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think. Do you have any other hobbies outside of boxing or mixed martial arts?
I like to shoot guns every now and then.
Oh, really?
When I was 17, when I graduated, I went to college out in PEI. I took the police academy for sheriffs.
Yes.
And that's when I really got into shooting guns and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, we get up 4 every morning, do our morning PT, do room inspection, go to class, but we were shooting every day. So I got both my licenses through that. And when I graduated, you know, there's just something about, you know, getting in the range and smelling the gunpowder. It's just, it's really relaxing. Similar to boxing in a way, maybe not as satisfying, but, you know, it's definitely.
And, did they have like all different types of guns that you could try out at the range, or was it only the service ones?
It was a P, what was it? A 6 hour P20, 6 hour, I do believe. It's what the down in Kentville, it's actually what they use for the registered pistol.
Oh,
yeah. And we got shot some shotguns, stuff like that. And I was trained on pepper spray and taser. Yeah, I actually had to get tased and pepper sprayed during that course.
How was that experience?
Oh, it was horrible, man. It was horrible. I was the first one in my squad to get pepper sprayed because everybody was scared to do it.
Oh.
Yeah, and, you know, I was known as the boxer, MMA fighter there.
Okay. So
they dosed me pretty good. They covered my whole face, and we had to do an obstacle course with it. And I did one in 20 seconds, actually.
In 20 seconds?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What's everybody else's time?
I think do you know a guy named Connor Victory?
It sounds familiar.
He's a kickboxer, actually. Me and him fought on the same card.
Okay. Was that Nova Kickboxing that you fought on?
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually, if you know Andy, you know, Andrew Thomas.
Yes.
Actually, my second kickboxing fight, me and him fought on the same card.
Oh.
I remember watching it on ringside. He was throwing that guy around, man. He got kicked in the face, though. Buddy threw an illegal kick.
Oh.
Yeah, he kicked him in the face, and that's Andrew just said, fuck it, and just started slamming the dude.
Yeah, I was, I think I had tickets to see one of the fights because Anthony Maskeen's a good friend of mine I trained with at Titans. And then Jake Kelly also won one of the featherweight title.
Yeah.
And then that was before, I think that was maybe after ECC had partnered with Nova Kickboxing. I'm not sure what their future is, but that was really awesome that we started having some kickboxing events in area.
Well, it was great having like amateur kickboxing that switched over to MMA. It really brought a lot of people in watching it.
Yeah. And okay, so you this Conor Victory guy, he was on the same card as you, okay?
Yeah, he actually I'm pretty sure he knocked Buddy out in like 13 seconds. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. He got some crazy kicks. But yeah, I met him on that card, and then, you know, we were in the same squad in college together, so that was a good buddy of mine out there. But he got, I'm pretty sure he got 39 seconds or something like that. But
I'm seeing his, he's from Sydney?
Yeah, Sydney.
Right.
He's a Cape Breton boy.
I'm seeing a picture of him. He's got like all this blood on him, and he's like.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a pretty crazy guy, that's for sure.
Yeah. That's awesome. His account's private. It pays to be a winner. Yes. His name is his last name literally Victory?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
He actually has a tattoo on his knee down to his ankle.
Oh.
And it says Victory on it.
Represent.
Yes, sir. He said it's because when he kicks the guy in the face, and they have the replay.
That's hilarious. That's pretty cool. That's a lot of thought put into that tattoo. That's actually an interesting thing. You got a lot of interesting tattoos, my friend. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, was there some type of inspiration for your tattoos, or did you just try to get something that looked cool, or both, or?
Well, I mean, the tattoo here on my neck, and the tattoo on my wrist. This one, that one says "sakura" in Japanese, and this one says "loyalty."
That's a very important thing.
But I don't know if you know a lot about Weijiru, but it's originated from Okinawa, Japan, from samurai there. So the language they speak over there, I just got it tatted in that. It's kind of like my little martial arts sleeve. I got koi fish here.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I have the yin and yang symbol for light and dark. And
there's some type of, I watched a couple videos on Japanese tattoos, and it's like, depending on if the koi fish is going upstream or downstream or something like that, it means different things. And I think, what does it mean? Is it like mean conquering? You're conquering if the fish is going.
I'm pretty sure if it's going up, it's going conquering because it's fighting against the stream.
Yeah.
Retrospect, and then it's kind of the opposite.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome that you got that work. Who's your main artist you go to?
Her name's Amber Kehoe.
Amber Kehoe.
Actually, I did this one. She was 7 months pregnant. Yeah.
There's people from Yarmouth that last name is Kehoe. So I'm wondering if it might be some relation.
Could be.
I don't know. Yeah. Awesome. Well, we are getting close to time. I was just wondering, what's the best, like, what's all your social medias? Where can people get in contact with you?
It's Josiah Lake _ for Instagram. My Snapchat's Josiah Lake 10, I do believe. Mm-hmm. And my Facebook's just my name. So, you know, that's that for social media. I'm not on it too much, but, you know.
No, it's not good to be on it too. I'm on it a little too much because of this business, but like, it's good to have your breaks, you know?
That's for sure. It's for sure. You know, I find, you know, you're scrolling for 5 minutes, and that 5 minutes turns to 30 minutes, and you don't even notice. So.
Like, one thing I hate about social media is, like, I don't know if you've been watching the Boba Fett Disney Plus series. I don't know. Okay. There's a new Disney Plus series that's like Star Wars or whatever. And every time I'm like in my social media, I'll see like, oh, this new episode's out, or this new movie's coming out. And I'm like, curse you. You know my weakness, you know? Like, I just want to, you know, see something simple, right? But they try to grab you and keep you up on the sites for longer than you want.
You into Cobra Kai at all? Like the show?
Okay. This is a show that I do want to get into because I'm a huge Karate Kid fan. Karate Kid's something I watched when I was doing karate.
Oh, you did karate.
Yeah. So when I started, I started with karate. I went to a counselor. I was getting picked on in school because I was like kind of like an emo kid, you know, the long black hair, the girl Welcome. Jeans. Yeah. A little confused, right? And I was getting bullied. So I asked my the psychologist. I really wanted to get medication because all the cool kids were like, you know, I'm on this depressant, that depressant. I thought it would be cool to be depressed for some reason. This is what happens when you're like 13 years old trying to. And anyways, I went to this child psychologist. They said, okay, you got to do two things. You got to cut your hair, get like a normal haircut, and join karate. And I did cut my hair right away, and people stopped picking on me because the hair was just giving me some attention that at the time I didn't know really how to deal with. Because, you know, it's not saying that you can't be yourself, but when you're 12, 13 years old, you don't really have the confidence to go against the grain most of the time. So what I did was I eventually joined karate with Milton Bork and Randy Bork in Yarmouth. They're the ones that were holding those Yarmouth Karate Challenge tournaments at the Mariner Center. I don't know if you've seen any of those. They were on for... Pardon?
I've seen them on Facebook a couple years back.
Yeah. So anyways, it was Shitoryu Karate, Chitoryu. Dr. Shitose is the founder. It's a style that's a combination of a few different Okinawan arts. And I did that, and I did some point karate tournaments. Did way too much contact, never got any points, lost. I don't even think I won anything ever for that. Yeah, because I was doing too much contact. You had to, for a point, you had to like have like for. When you're a younger person, you got to have like maybe like an inch gap. Then later on, you can have contact, but it can't be excessive contact. So you literally just touch. And I was watching, you know, Wonder Boy, like you said, GSP, even though I can see sometimes where GSP uses karate, but then at the other time, I don't really see him too much as a karate person. Mm-hmm. Then Kyoji Horiguchi, I was a huge fan of. Quite a few people from Crazy B, I was a huge fan of. Like Kid Yamamoto, unfortunately, he passed away. Trying to think who else. There was a few, quite a few. How can I forget this? Lyoto Machida. I tried imitating him so bad. I watched all of, like... the JKA tournaments, like the Shotokan tournaments, I was a huge fan of. Tried to do all his kind of style.
Yeah.
It didn't play well. low hand didn't play well for me.
I mean, it was doing pretty good in the Jones fight that he had, but you know,
yeah. Jones
got 18 in, and it was hard to see Machida fall like that. It really was.
I think I first started watching Lyoto when he went against Chris Weidman at 175. And man, I was totally rooting for him. Didn't know a whole lot about him. Of course, he lost. He was really competitive for quite a while. I think he had maybe one round or two rounds. And then, yeah, he lost. And then his career, in my opinion, kind of has plummeted pretty hard. And it's been hard to watch that. And I, you know, obviously his brother Shinzo also competes in Bellator. It was really interesting how it was like a very traditional karate style that they had with their father. The father was actually the representative for Brazil for JKA. And And then they had like the Machida Karate Academy. Has incorporated like MMA into basically their program. So now instead of just doing like traditional karate, they also incorporate like ground fighting, you know, traditional sparring, that type of stuff. Yeah. And so, yeah, I started with karate and then eventually moved to mixed martial arts with Peter Martel. I went to Titans, tried a class. They were like, yeah, you should do boxing or jiu-jitsu. I started with boxing. Andrew Thomas taught my first boxing class as a fill-in. Yeah. Had Mario Laba. He did some classes. Peter, of course, did some classes. And
How long have you been boxing?
So doing the math, it's been almost like 4 years, but I took like a 1 year hiatus going to, back to school. Yeah. So it's been like 3 years of practice. But then as soon as I joined Tribal, I was like, wait, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
I thought, right. I thought it like I was going in there. I was like, I thought I knew stuff. And then her whole concept about the ranges and the different ranges and, you know, getting out, the mindset, the mental part. It's all stuff I just, I didn't know I had to learn. And now looking back, like.
Really even, digs.
Yeah. Even yesterday we were drilling and we were trying to go like from the 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock backwards. And then we were pivoting after that. We also did some check hooks too, but the whole drill, you have to stay at the three position the whole time. My tendency was always to go to the two. That was completely against what the drill was. And then I realized the whole time that I've been fighting, I've been going to the two position with no concept of, you know, if I go back further, then my opponent can't even hit me. So live and you learn, right?
True. It's true.
But yeah. I mean,
have you had any bouts yourself?
I've had like some bouts where they were scheduled, but like, what Peter was trying to do at the beginning was give me a fight with somebody that was actually already in the club. He was doing private lessons, but he was too young. I think he was like 16, but he was just as big as me. It was going to be an exhibition and it kind of fell through. And then there was, I think in total, maybe 4 or 5 fights that just never came through. And looking back now, I'm like, I'm kind of happy. the last person that I was supposed to fight was GT, John Till, you know, our friend.
Yeah.
I was supposed to fight him on like a week's notice for a Citadel card. Yeah. And I just thought maybe that wasn't a good idea for somebody who had like 4 or 5 bouts. And I had
none. I would love to see that one.
Well, now, like at the time, we were about the same size, but now I've kind of ballooned and he's kind of shrunk. So I don't think that'll happen now. But now that I know him, I don't want to fight against him. He's such a nice guy and he's got such an interesting story. I've been trying to get him on here, but I think not everybody wants to come on and talk about what's, you know, their whole life story, right? But he'd be a cool guy to have on too.
That's for sure. He does have quite an intricate background.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really appreciate you coming on there. I look forward to seeing you fight and that I hope you can fight this year. I hope I can fight too, but it's looking like for at least the immediate future, a lot of things are shut down. So it'll just be some, training time for a lot of people.
Getting ready. Get my cardio up.
That's yeah. Sure. You got to get that up too. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, brother, anytime.
All right, take care. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. I had a really good time talking to Josiah, hearing about his beginnings in Taekwondo and as well as karate and then going from MMA and kickboxing now to boxing. I'm really excited to see what his 2022 looks like. And yeah, we talked about a lot of different topics, music, video games. Not everything has to be about boxing, but it all has the singular focus of getting an insight into what the fighter's life is like. And as always, if you've enjoyed this podcast, I suggest that you subscribe to the YouTube channel or subscribe to the podcast on your preferred platform. That way, when there is a new episode, you do not miss it. And as always, like, comment, and share all of that good stuff. Stay safe. And I'll talk to you next time.